Bismillah ve salatu ve selam ala Resulillah ve ala alihi ve sahbihi ve men ve ala. We're reading from the spheres of Islam, Iman, Ihsan, Irfan ve Habib Abdurrahman ben Abdullah bil Fakih ve radiyallahu ta'ala anhu ve nefa'ani bi ulumi fid darin. Amin. The author says, may Allah ta'ala be pleased with him and benefit us through him. وَقَدْ وَرَدَ بِذَٰلِكَ الْكِتَابُ السُّنَّةِ عَلَىٰ وَدْعٍ مُتَّحِدٍ. So that he's talking about this deen and how it has a beginning and it has an end and all of those details that we discussed last time. And how in reality it's one deen and it's a straight path. But there are way stations, there are watering holes, there are degrees, there are levels. And then he's saying, so I say, and through so the book and Sunnah have reported this in unison. Okay, they're both in alignment with everything that was previously mentioned. فَالْأَخْذُ بِفَرْعِهِ وَفَصْلِهِ يَسْتَلْزَمُ الْأَخْذَ بِبَاقِيهِ وَأَصْلِهِ. So therefore, taking its branches necessitates taking its roots, and taking part of it necessitates taking the rest of it. And so they go hand in hand. Yes, there's times where you have to focus on the parts and then put those parts together for the whole. But the opposite is also true, is that by taking its branches, by necessity, because they're connected to the roots, you're also taking the roots. And also, by taking a part of it, it necessitates taking the rest of it because it's so interconnected. And then he says, وَتَكْذِيبُ بِبَعْضِهِ تَكْذِيبٌ بِكُلِّهِ. Denial of some of it is denial of all of it. Because it's all related. It's one deen. And this is why there are certain things, the scholars say, are مَعْلُوم مِنِ الدِّينِ بِالضَّرُورَةِ, are necessarily known to be a part of the religion. And if someone denies those things, it's very dangerous, and it could take them outside the fold of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and preserve us. Why? Because of this principle. Because that by denying part of it, it's that like denying that all of it, because it's all one deen. And then he says, وَأَهْلُ كُلِّ مَرْتَبَةٍ يَأْخُذُونَ مِنْ كُلِّ آيَةٍ وَطَاعَةٍ مَثَلًا مَنَازِلُهُمْ. This is really, really profound. Because when you think about the implications of what he's saying and the application of it to each individual member of the ummah, this is that very, very, that this is a very, very deep thing that he's saying. The people of each level take from each Quranic verse and act of devotion, for example, their particular station. So at first he was talking about the deen in general and giving all of the detailed, giving the detailed description of it. Now he's talking about how it relates to individuals, people. And so every people of different degrees, of different levels that have different understandings take according to their level respectively, that from each verse and each act of obedience, something that is specific to them. It relates to their manazil. And then he says, وَيَشْرَبُونَ فِيهِ مَنَاهِلَهُمْ. They drink from their particular spring. Remember we said this word manhal is a word that we could translate as watering hole. In other words, that it's a source of spiritual irrigation. And what a beautiful way to think about our deen is that we have different mashadib and different manahil, different sources that spiritually irrigate us. And one of the things our teachers used to mention is that if you find in your heart a connection to a specific dhikr, a particular name of Allah or a particular dhikr, you might just incline towards saying Subhanallah. You might just incline towards saying La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And you feel a connection to that invocation in your heart, it's a sign that you have a special, that connection to it, and it's your watering hole, and it's a means for you to attain that goodness from. And so in other words, is that we should stick to that if this is indeed what Allah Ta'ala has that opened up for us. So they drink from their particular spring. Kullun minhum ala qadri taqatih. And each according to his capability. وَقَابَلِيَّةِ قَلْبِهِ وَإِيمَانِهِ وَطَاعَتِهِ وَكُرْبِهِ. His heart's receptivity, his faith, obedience, and worship. So meaning is that all believers are praying, they're fasting, that they're reading the Quran, but people are different. And that they're the same in one respect, they're reading the same Quran, they are that praying the same prayer, but it's different based upon that individual. So depending upon their ability and depending upon that these other, that great aspects, the heart's receptivity, قَابَلِيَّةِ قَلْبِهِ. So if someone has a very hard heart, when mercy is pouring out, they're not going to receive that much. If someone has an extremely soft heart, in a little bit of mercy, and no mercy is little, is that raining down in the spiritual realm, they'll receive it and they'll capture it. So we have a qabaliyah of our qalb, and this is something we should think about how, and this is the real question, how can we that till the soil of our hearts to make them receptive? How can we do that? How can we increase our heart's receptivity? And according to our iman, our faith, and according to that our ta'a, our obedience, and according to that our qurba, and qurbihi, which is our proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ آيَةٍ وَحَدِيثٍ وَطَاعَةٍ وَعِبَادَةٍ وَذِكْرٍ لَهُ ظَاهِرٌ وَبَاطِنٌ وَحَدٌ وَمَطْلَعٌ وَمَطْلَعٌ. For indeed, every Quranic verse, prophetic narration, act of obedience, invocation, and act of worship has an exoteric sense and an esoteric sense, and a boundary and a starting point. إِلَى مَا لَا نِهَايَةَ لَهُ. And all of this is infinite. Okay, so what is he saying here? That we mentioned the hadith, I believe it was yesterday, where there's a hadith of our Prophet ﷺ that says, لِكُلِّ آيَةٍ, every verse has a ظَهْرٌ وَبَطْنٌ, an outward meaning and an inward meaning, a had, which is a limit, and a matla, which you would translate matla as rising point, or you could say muttala, which is a vantage point. And the point is that there's multiple dimensions of every verse. And it doesn't mean that there's only four meanings to every verse, that you will find amazing things like in the commentary of Imam al-Bajuri, where he would say things like some of the ulama say that every verse has 60,000 meanings. Anyhow, that the meanings of the Quran never cease. And as Imam al-Busayri says, لَهَا مَعَانٍ كَمَوْجِدْ بَحْرِ. He says that it has meanings like waves of an ocean that are incessantly coming, wave after wave, wave after wave, wave after wave. This is the book of Allah is like this. But Imam Habib Abdurrahman is extending this not only to the Quran, but he's saying this also applies to the hadith. This also applies to every ta'a, act of obedience. This also applies to that every ibadah, every form of worship, and every dhikr, and every invocation. They all have an outward dimension and an inward dimension. They have a had, a limit, or he translates it here as a boundary. And they have a matlat or a muttalat. إِلَى مَا لَا نِهَايَةَ لَهُ. And it never ends. Meaning is that you could be doing, and this is always the question, is that I remember family members asking me, like, do you say the same thing every time that you pray? They said that to you too? Oh. Like, do you say the same thing every time you pray? And yeah, certainly, like, there's a lot of things that are the exact same. And then, obviously, that different chapters of the Quran that you recite, maybe different du'as that you make in sujood and so forth. But yes, it's the same thing. But when you understand this, every time that you say it, it's something new. Every time that you say it, there's a new mercy, there's new meanings, there's a new blessing, there's new good, and it never ends. you just keep repeating it, and the doors keep opening, the doors keep opening. It becomes more expansive, and your understanding gets greater, and the sweetness of it increases, and so forth and so on, and it never, ever ends. And so that this applies to all these different aspects of knowledge and different acts of devotion that we do. And the ulama go into, they have a difference of opinion about what these four dimensions that are specifically mentioned in the hadith are. And we'll not go into those details. It's sufficient for us now to understand is that there's multiple dimensions of the meanings of the Quran, the meanings of the hadith, and all acts of worship that we do. And the key here really is, how can you and I maximize our benefit from everything? And how can we that make the receptivity of our heart greater? So then he says, فَكُلُّ طَالِبًا يَأْخُذُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَطْلُوبًا مِنْهُ نَصِيبَهُ. So a talib is someone who's seeking something. And the matlub is what they're seeking. So every talib, that's every seeker, takes a portion, his nasib, of what he seeks in accordance to his level. عَلَى حَسَبِ, in accordance, قِسْمِهِ. That khasama literally is to distribute, is to apportion. So according to that, what has been decreed for them to receive. And also according to what? عَلَى حَسَبِ قِسْمِهِ وَمَبْلَغِ فَهْمِهِ وَعِلْمِهِ. And according to his understanding and his knowledge. So that he, al-talib here is normally the word that you use for student, but it's also that the talib here is meant the one seeking closest to Allah, the seeker. So it takes a portion of what he seeks in accordance to his level and the extent of his understanding and knowledge. So the that greater his level, the greater what has been apportioned for him, the greater his knowledge, the greater his understanding, the greater his approach to whatever it is he's doing, you're going to get more out of it. And that to bring this close, this is one of the imams, Imam al-Aydarus al-Akbar, that he used to say, is that 2 rak'ahs from a scholar is better than 1,000 rak'ahs of a common Muslim. Why? Because they know the sunnahs of the Prophet ﷺ. They know how to get multiplied reward. They know different things that they can do in their prayer to get maximum benefit. And then he said that the prayer of one of the righteous, one of the awliya, is better than 1,000 rak'ahs of the scholar. Because not only do they do all of those outward sunnahs, now that their state of heart, their concentration, the inner etiquettes, all of these other matters that are beyond the outward, where everyone's the same. You do the outward, you do the outward. But then their heart is different. And he said there's a group called the Ahlu Haqiqat al-Tawheed, the people of the reality of belief in the divine unity. And he said that one breath of these people is heavier in the scales than all of the actions of the ins and the jinn, of the humankind and the jinn kind, for them to take one breath. And this is because of their state of heart. This is because of their shuhud, of their divine witnessing at the heart of the heart. This is because of the quality of their worship. And it's hard for us to really understand that, because we're geared, especially in modern society, to focus on quantity and that mass production and numbers and profit margins and all these other types of things. But we forget quality. We forget there's going to be prophets on Yawm al-Qiyamah that might not have a single follower, or might have one or two or three or a few followers, prophets of God, that the Safwa, the elect of his creation. And it never is a precondition for someone to reach the highest degrees of closeness to Allah, that people know him, or that people know her, or that he or she has a lot of followers, or and so forth and so on. It's never a precondition. Right? What matters is their state of heart. So what does this teach us? And why is Imam Abdurrahman bin Abdullah Bilfaqih introducing this? So that you and I can be very clear. What really matters is the quality of our worship. We take quantity into consideration to the degree that the Sharia that tells us that it's important. Beyond that, it's quality. And I remember one of my teachers in Mauritania, Marabit Ahmed Fad, one of the great students of Marab Taj, that I asked him one time about reciting the Quran with reflection. Is it better to read a lot or to read a little with reflection? And he said, "Tadabburu ayatan khayru min kathir min al-khatamat." Pondering deeply, reflecting deeply upon one verse is better than completing the Quran many times. Reflection is that really, really important. Your quality is what really, really matters. And so these people who move up to the higher degrees of closest to Allah, is it because of their state of heart? Because their heart is in the divine presence? Because they are people that have experiential certainty. These are people that believe in Allah and are witnessing the divine impact of one creation. When they say Subhanallah, it's not like someone else saying Subhanallah. Right? In the scales, is that there's no comparison. And as the statement of Imam al-Idrus, like, we're all of the acts of the ins and the jinn to be put together. Where people that are trapped in a worldview of quantity would be like, that's impossible. How could that be? No. Is that subhanAllah? This is possible. And there's no limit to the degree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cause someone to grow spiritually exponentially. And there's this beautiful story that Sayyid Abdul Aziz al-Dabbagh mentioned, where he mentions one of the great imams that came before, one of the great, great, great imams. And when he was telling this to his student, he turned like this. He said, in the time that it took for me to turn like this, he said, I ascended in degrees of closeness to Allah that were that imam to have lived from his time until now, that he wouldn't have achieved what I achieved in that one, those few moments of turning. SubhanAllah. Now, what does that mean? It's hard for us because, again, we don't consider the inner dimension of things. Right? But when you understand that the inner dimensions that open up through worship, the people who know that, then it makes sense to them. But we believe in these things because we believe in the awliya and we love the awliya. Anyhow, is that this is what he's laying down for us, is that people have different levels, they have different outlooks, they have different degrees of understanding, they have different degrees of knowledge, and all of this is key. And the last thing that I want to mention, this dua that one of our teachers recites almost after almost every prayer, Allahumma ij'alna min ahli haqiqat al-tawheed. That's a dua that we should repeat regularly. O Allah, make us from the people of the reality of Tawheed, that move up to experiential degrees of divine witnessing and strong levels of belief. So then he says, and he's going to give us an example. فَفِي كَلِمَةِ الْإِخْلَاسِ مَثَلًا. When pronouncing the statement of divine oneness, كلمة الإخلاص it's called, and this is saying, La ilaha illallah. It's referred to as the kalimat al-ikhlas. That word of that ikhlas is sincerity, but you could also, as he translates it here, is divine oneness, the statement of divine oneness. For example, allati hiya aslul usul. The kalimat al-ikhlas is what? It's the foundation of all foundations. It is that kalimat tayyiba that Allah Ta'ala refers to in the Quran, and that likening it to a tree. It's the kalima tayyibah. It's the asl usul, it's the foundation of all foundations. Yaqulu ahl al-iman, the people of iman, faith, say, La ilaha illallah. There is no God except Allah. And then he says, Wa ma'anahum la ma'bud illallah. And their understanding is, there is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah. La ma'bud. Abada ya'bud is to worship. Ma'bud is what is worshipped. La ma'bud. Nothing is worshipped except Allah. There is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah. And then, thumma fi tariq al-ihsan. But the understanding of those on the path of ihsan is different. That it's that and more. Their understanding is, La maqsood illallah. Nothing is sought except Allah. Thumma fi tahqiq al-irfan. Then, the understanding of those in realization of irfan is, La mawjood illallah. Nothing, there's nothing existent other than Allah. And when we learn this from our teachers, we learn that there's 4 degrees. La ilaha illallah, la ma'bud illallah. That's the most basic degree. That nothing is worthy of worship except Allah. So you, la ma'buda, you're negating that nothing, right? La ma'buda illallah. So that the kalimat al-tawheed is saying, la ilaha, there is no God. And then it's affirming. So it's a negation and then an affirmation, illallah. And then we're talking about now the meaning. So the most basic meaning is, la ma'bud illallah. Nothing is worthy of worship except Allah. Literally, nothing is worship except Allah. And then there's a higher degree after that, la maqsood. So if you think about that, la ma'bud illallah, that this is at the level of belief. Okay, you recognize, I don't believe anything. There's no only one God. But then when we start talking about la maqsood, why does it relate to the path of ihsan? Because now this is the level of your intention. Imagine if everything that you did, you were cognizant of the reality of la ilaha illallah when it means la maqsood illallah. Nothing is sought except Allah. That all of the diversions, all of the pull to that worship Allah ta'ala for other reasons would just completely vanish. Because you recognize in that moment, la ma'bud, la maqsood illallah. That nothing is sought, literally, except Allah. And then the even higher degree of that is that where someone is, there's tahqiq of irfan. This is a person who knows Allah. And again, we just talk about these things. We believe in them, and we hope that we die loving the people who have actualized them. And perhaps that our Lord, tabarak wa ta'ala, will give us a glimpse. Perhaps there'll be a flash. Perhaps there will be just a taste of what it's like to experience this, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And that the higher meaning is la mawjood illallah. Other things exist. We exist. But our existence is not real existence. Our existence is contingent existence. Our existence depends upon the existence of Allah. If Allah ta'ala wanted to just completely erase us from existence, He would do so instantaneously, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our existence, yes, we exist from one standpoint. But in reality, that our existence is not real, true existence. Allah is the wajib al-wujud. He is the necessarily existent, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're negating that anything truly exists other than Allah. Now imagine if that was your state, where you were with people, but everything that you saw in reality, as it didn't have true existence. Think about how much pain we cause ourselves because we think other people are really existing. Like imagine if that was your state and then someone criticized you or then someone smirked at you or then someone that mistreated you. You're aslan to begin with, like you're not aware of their existence. Yes, they're there, but you realize is that they only exist because Allah allows them to exist and Allah is subsisting them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not going to be bothered by the things that they say. Because you realize everything is from Allah. And you'll know how to deal with it. And that just think about the healing that is in this. And this is why you can only truly be healthy if you have these meanings. Yes, you can outwardly be healthy and eat well and exercise and all of that. But you can only truly be healthy is that if you realize these meanings of the deen. And then there's an even that loftier station, la mashhud illallah. Nothing is witnessed except Allah. In other words, is that when the veil is lifted, that everything ultimately points to the existence of Allah. And every act in creation is His act, subhanahu wa ta'ala, which points to one of His attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, which points to His essence, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the goal of our religious life, is to come to know that. When you call someone an arif billah, what does that mean? They're witnessing the divine impact on creation. They're witnessing the theophany of the manifestation of the names and attributes of Allah ta'ala all around them. Whether it's majestic or whether it's beautiful, they are constantly in a state of witnessing. Everything reminds them of Allah. They only see Allah in reality and not with the eyes that are the physical eye, with the eye of the heart. May Allah ta'ala bless us to love these people and to take a path where we follow in their footsteps, where we try to resemble them. Ya Arhamar Rahmeen, from the blessing of this month of Ramadan, Ya Arhamar Rahmeen, we ask you to give us a taste of what you have tasted, you've given them to taste, Ya Arhamar Rahmeen. And then he's going to mention another example. وَفِلْ بَسْمَلَةِ مَثَلًا بَسْمَلَة بَسْمَلَةِ بَسْمِلُ is to say بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. Just as the hamdala is what? And the hawqala is to say لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. So the basmala, بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ الَّتِي هِيَ الْمُبْتَدَأُ فِي كُلِّ حَالٍ. When pronouncing the basmala, for example, which is the beginning point of every state, people say in the name of Allah, يَقُولُونَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ. وَمَعْنَاهُمْ التَّعَلُّقُ. The people of Iman, the first level, are attached to the meaning. Okay, تَعَلُّقُ. تَعَلَّقَ يَتَعَلُّقُ is to attach to something. And then, وَفِي الْمَرْتَبَةِ الثَّانِيَةِ it's a تَخَلُّقُ. Whereas the people of Ihsan, the second level, internalize the meaning. It becomes a part of their khuluq. It becomes a part of how they are. So you have the khalq, which is your physical constitution. You have your khuluq, which is your internal constitution. And the process of takhalluq is, for example, the trait of rahmah. When there's takhalluq, then you become merciful. And you do merciful acts outwardly with your limbs. Generosity, if there's takhalluq of generosity, you become generous internally in your heart, and it leads to your limbs doing acts of generosity. So when it comes to the basmala, is that not just having an attachment to it, not just devoting ourselves to saying it, where then is that we become molded by it, we become shaped by it. And then, fil martabati thalitha, in the third degree, is that the people of Irfan, they truly realize the meaning. What he calls here, at-tahakkuk, realization. So there's three degrees, ta'alluq, takhalluq, and tahakkuk. And everyone at Maqasid, I'm sure, is familiar with that from Basid classes with Imam Amin, who he mentions this regularly. But this is very important, ta'alluq, takhalluq, and tahakkuk. And that translates as attachment, internalization, and realization. فَقَدْ أَخَذَ أَهْلُ كُلِّ مَرْتَبَةٍ مِنْ هَذَيْنَ الْكَلِمَتَيْنِ وَذِكْرَيْنَ الشَّرِيفَيْنِ نَصِيبَهُمْ. The people of each level take their portion and drink their fill from these two noble statements according to the degree among the endless degrees found in each level. وَشَرِبُوا شُرْبَهُمْ عَلَى اخْتِلَافِ تَفَاوَتًا لَا نِهَايَةَ لَهُ فِي كُلِّ مَرْتَبَةً. And so he combined the sentence together here. But وَشَرِبُوا شُرْبَهُمْ, which also means is that they've that drinken, that their spiritual drink. Again, that according to their degrees and according to the various levels. So the people of each level take their portion and drink their fill from these two noble statements according to their degree among the endless degrees found in each level. So each level, there's degree upon degree upon degree upon degree. The key for us is that we want to be ascending. We want to keep moving up and drawing closer and closer to Allah Jalla Jalala. And it might seem for a while that our spiritual progression's paused, or it might seem that it stopped, or it might seem that we've gone backwards. These things happen. But we have to always remember the spiritual path is not linear. It doesn't happen like we want it to happen. Things don't come in the time that we want them to come. Sometimes we're prevented something when we want something, and we get something when we don't want something. We want to turn away from something, it comes, and we want to turn towards something that it's taken from us. And hakadah. You never know what's going to happen at any time. But this is why the whole goal is to become abd, to become a servant of Allah. And you accept what He gives you in every moment, happily, with utter submission and contentment. Not just patience. The spiritual path, yes, patience is a part of the spiritual path, but beyond patience, contentment. This is the divine decree, and this is what he singled out for you, and that's what's good for you. And that's the reality. And there's nothing else that you and I can do except to hammer that into our hearts and to remind ourselves of that on a regular basis. And again, we have to understand that in the proper way to understand that. Doesn't mean that if we're in haram that we say, okay, I'm just going to remain here. No. If you are doing something that is displeasing to Allah, you stop doing that thing. But in relation to other things that we don't necessarily have control over, or we're doing our best, but it's just going a certain way, submission. It's the only way. نعم والتعلق في خصوص وعموم في ملاحظة النوع والسبب في كل مقسوم على حد معلوم مقص على ذلك ما سوى. That's a very packed statement. For example, the degrees of those at the first level correspond to their individual degree of attachment in worship, which differs in type and quality according to what has been apportioned to them. Such is the case at every level. وعلم know أن الله سبحانه وتعالى لما تفضل ببعثة رسوله سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأعطاه جوامع الكلم. Know that when Allah exalted, graciously sent His messenger, our master Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and granted him comprehensive speech, جوامع الكلم, وسهل له الدين, and made the religion easy through him, ورفع عن أمته ببركة الإصر, and by His blessing lifted every hardship from His nation, وكل عصر, and every difficulty, every hardship and every difficulty and every burden. اختصره الدين كله في كلمتي الشهادتين. Is that he summarized, encapsulated the entire religion in the two testifications. And that he says here that they are the مبتدا دائرة الإسلام والإيمان. That in the two testifications, which are the beginning of the spheres of Islam and Iman. ثُمَّ بَسَطَ فِي كُلِّ دَائِتٍ أَوْسَعْ مِنَا بَسْطًا لَا نِهَايَةَ لَهُ. And then he created a series of endlessly expanding concentric spheres. So what is he saying here? He's saying here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with جُوَامِ الْكَلَمْ, and he summarized for him, that he was able to summarize the entire deen succinctly in words and in phrases that were packed in meaning, that they were simple in terms of how they could be understood, but they were far from simplistic because the meanings were so expansive and so comprehensive. And it was through the Prophet ﷺ that made the religion easy. And it was through our Prophet ﷺ that he lifted the burden from us. And it was that he made difficult things easy. And so that the entire deen, it can be summarized and is contained in the shahada. So to say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, that contains all of the meanings of the deen. So all of the meanings of the deen that you learn, Iman, Islam, Ihsan, and everything else are contained in La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And there is a cosmic reality that to this is written on the throne. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And were we to go on and on until Yawm al-Qiyamah, that for someone who would receive an opening, explaining the meanings of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, it would never end. And as Habib Abu Bakr bin Abdullah al-Attas used to say, were I to speak about a dharra, an atom's weight of the sciences of Iman, لَأَعْجَزْتُ كَتَبَتُ الدُّنْيَا, I would have incapacitated all of the scribes in the world. And there's no doubt that the ulum of Iman relate to the shahada, relate to the testification of faith. And this is why Allah Ta'ala made it the way that we enter into the deen. What do we have to do? أَشْهَدُ أَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ سَيِّدِنَ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And then you enter into the deen. So you say what's most important, that which combines everything, and then you slowly learn until the day that you die. And everything that is that you learn in the beginning, in the middle, and the end, and everything we're in between, is ultimately a further explanation of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So knowing that, next time we actually say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, that we'll have a greater sense of ta'zim, of exaltation in our heart for it, because it combines everything that is in the deen. And it is the mubtada It is the beginning of the sphere, both the sphere of Islam and the sphere of Iman, outward submission in all of its various forms and inner belief. And then that there's concentric spheres after that. And what he says here is, عَلَى حَسَبِ دَرَجَاتِ الْمُتَّقِينَ وَمَقَامَاتِ الدِّينِ إِلَى غَايَاتِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالْمُرْسَلِينَ. And so, each sphere is larger than the preceding one according to the degrees of the pious and the stations of the religion up to the utmost degrees of the prophets and the messengers. So we have degrees from the weakest believer, and we actually know his name, Juhayna, the last one to enter into paradise that will be washed in the Nahr al-Hayah, the water of life. And then he will be given that all of the pleasures in the world 10 times over. And even the last person in paradise will think that he's been given everything. So then what about people that receive more? What about people, the Salihin? What about the great awliya? What about the Siddiqeen? What about the ulum, the Anbiya and the Mursaleen? What does Allah Ta'ala have in store for them? So he says, فَالدَّخُولُ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ بِالنُّطْقِ بِشَهَدَتَيْنِ. Therefore, entry into Islam is by pronouncing the two testifications of faith. And so, doing so, قَالنُّقْتَةِ الَّتِي تَدُرُ عَلَيْهَا دَائِرَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالْإِمَانِ. Therefore, entry into Islam by pronouncing the two testifications of faith is like the central point of the sphere of Islam and Iman. ثُمَّ الْعِلْمُ وَالْبَيَانِ. It is also the central point of the spheres which come after it, i.e. the sphere of ilm, knowledge, and bayan, clarification. ثُمَّ الْإِحْسَانُ ثُمَّ الْإِرْفَانِ. Then the sphere of ihsan, excellence, and the sphere of irfan, gnosis. إِلَىٰ مَا لَا نِهَايَةَ لَهُ فِي هَذَا الشَّانِ. And so on endlessly. فَلْنُوَضِّحُ ذَلِكَ فِي أَرْبَعِ دَوَائِرَ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانِ. We will clarify this in our discussion of the four spheres, and Allah's help is sought. The four spheres are as follows, and we'll read them now and then make comment on them briefly tomorrow, bismillah. That the first sphere, the sphere of Islam, submission and Iman, faith, and taking from the roots and branches as a whole and in general through conviction, obedience, and submission. The second sphere, the sphere of being firmly rooted in the foundations, knowing the details of this branches and parts, and broadening of ilm, knowledge, and bayan, clarification. The third sphere, a sphere of reaching the inward aspect through the outward aspect and attaining spiritual excellence from knowledge and proof. This is the path of ihsan, excellence. The fourth sphere, the last sphere in relation to the previous spheres, but the first in relation to the spheres that follow it. It is witnessing the reality and awareness of every boundary and starting point in everything that is apparent or hidden in the path of gnosis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, open up the doors of mercy to us. Inshallah, we will suffice ourselves with that for today. And inshallah, continue on in our study tomorrow and open up these meanings to us and bless us to then internalize them and to experience them. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with ta'alluq, bless us with takhalluq, and bless us with tahakkuk of all of the meanings of this deen. Ya Arhamar Rahim, from the blessing of this month, Ya Arhamar Rahim, forgive us of all of our sins and to overlook everything that we've done, all acts of disobedience, Ya Rabbi Ameen, all acts of su'ad adab. All times that we've had bad adab with you, Ya Rabbi Ameen, are with your awliya, are with that your prophets and messengers are with your awliya, are with the family of your prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rabbi Ameen, give us tawfiq in all of our different affairs and bless us all to say when we exit this world, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, completely actualizing its meanings inward and outwardly, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ala alihi wa sallam, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, bi sirr asrar al-fatiha ila hadr.